KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Public universities and colleges in Washington State have lost about half their state funding over the past 4 years. And now state government is facing another $900 million budget shortfall. That doesn't include the estimated $1 billion it's going to cost to fully fund K-12 education, as mandated earlier this year in a ruling by the state Supreme Court. What's all this going to mean for the future of higher education in Washington State? Well, one key lawmaker to figuring this out is Representative Larry Sequist, who's chair of the House Higher Education Committee. Larry represents the 26th Legislative District. That includes Port Orchard and parts of Bremerton. He's a former U.S. Navy warship captain and Pentagon strategist who served for 32 years in the U.S. Navy. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Ross. Thank you.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I'm an employee of the University of Washington. How large have state cutbacks to higher education been? Can you compare this to other states or other parts of the budget?
The fact is, it's a grim thing to say, but higher education for the last several years has been the ATM for the rest of the budget. Over the last 10 years, we've seen money migrate from education, especially from higher education, towards the social and health services. The important thing about the last legislature just a year ago was that we put a floor into that. We stopped those cuts. So now we're beginning a rebuilding stage.
Yeah, what's your best guess, though, with this coming legislative session? Certainly a lot of budgetary challenges. Will you be able to keep that floor there?
I'm absolutely determined. I've, on a bipartisan basis, been working all across the state for the last 6 months to build a coalition of people that are going to help make sure that there are no more cuts. No matter how serious it is, we're not going to cut education, especially higher ed. My plan is to open the session with an ask of $625 million. In order to fully fund the budgets that the universities and the community colleges have put together and to begin to stop the tuition rises for our students.
Does that $625 million represent an increase over this past year?
Yes, that would be an increase.
By how much?
In percentage, it would be 5 or 6% would be my rough guess. Depends on which yardstick I use for those numbers.
You really think you can do that in this year when there's already a shortfall, the state's spending more than it's bringing in, and it's got to meet this Supreme Court mandate to fully fund K-12?
Right. Our economy is growing. As Jay Inslee, the new governor, has been pointing out, we will be gaining as our economy grows, and we are a high-tech growing economy in this state. So revenues will be coming up, and I believe that higher ed has to have a share of that increased revenue. Now, it is important, Ross, that as you say, the McCleary decision, the K-12, we have to not only fully fund K-12, we have to make sure that when we are fully funded, that the whole system is fully functional. So we need early learning, K-12, and the higher ed system all working smoothly.
So you don't see it as a zero-sum game where the lawmakers are just going to go, okay, we dealt with education in this K-12 dilemma, end of story?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, education in general, higher ed specifically, is at the absolute center ring of this legislature. Maybe the next couple of legislatures are going to be preoccupied with education policy.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened to the state higher education system over the past few years. If you just tuned in, Larry Sequist is my guest. He's chair of the House Higher Education Committee. Back in the 60s and 70s, Washington State paid more than 90% of instructional costs. Today, the state pays an average of 35% of instructional costs, students and families that are paying 65%. What's been the impact of that shift we've seen?
Well, it's been huge. First of all, you see student loan rates going up. You see students no longer going to college. They can't afford it. Last fall, for example, the people who enrolled in community colleges were large numbers in August and September. By October and November, those numbers had begun to fall off by maybe more than 10,000 students because they simply couldn't afford to keep going. So we've really got to attack that cost of going to college and get those ratios back in sync.
Let me just ask you a basic question. Why is it important that the state of Washington be heavily involved in financing higher education?
This is probably the single most important question facing our state. We are a high-tech business export state. We have more than 2 open jobs for every high-tech job in the state. We've got nearly 600 aerospace businesses, high-tech agriculture, biotech, all hungry for people. The key to our state's future is to become a more educated people. So we need certificates, two-year degrees, four-year degrees. We need more of everything, and we need it as fast as possible. So the accelerator, the gas pedal for Washington State is education.
Now, is this, though, setting us off on a path where a lot of these schools are really becoming more like private schools? And I'm thinking of Green River Community College, where they're aggressively recruiting Chinese students who will pay full freight, perhaps more than they can get out of state students. Have we already gone, in effect, to a funding system that these institutions have gone to out of necessity that might be hard to turn back?
No, I actually think I see it the other way. It's good. It's business economics. They're using those international students. They're not taking our students' seats. Same with UW, but they are helping the budget people balance their budget with these higher cost, higher paying students. And the effect for us is that Washington State students will be able to continue to go to school. So we need to keep that in balance for sure.
Yeah. Well, maybe then, have there been some benefits of these cutbacks in state funding and that institutions have become a bit more self-sustaining, a little bit less dependent, and become a bit more entrepreneurial because they've had to? Is there a good side to this?
Oh, yes. It's painful. This is good pain, I suppose. What you see in the universities, in the four-year universities, you see enormous creativity. They are investing in technology, new techniques, moving students faster. It's really impressive. And in the community colleges, our 34 community and technical colleges, they're extremely entrepreneurial. They're out there talking with the local businesses about what skills they need, making sure that the courses they deliver fit the hiring halls. So on both ends, I'm really impressed with how entrepreneurial and efficient our schools are. Now, they need to be more efficient. I'm going to be pushing very hard that we see every conceivable savings coming out of those schools, that we see every student stuffed through as fast as possible.
Stuffed through, efficiencies. I mean, students aren't widgets. Education isn't the factory. When you talk about efficiency, what do you mean?
There's two kinds of students. The average student these days is actually an older student with a family. She or he has got a job, trying to go to school. They want to go through as fast and efficiently as possible. We also need to make sure that the regular four-year student who's 18 or 19 and doing the regular college experience is actually moving forward. So, yes, we need to have that experience, and the four-year university leaders will think that's very important. We're very good at that, by the way. We've got one of the leading, most efficient college systems in the country. But I do think that we can ask more to make sure we have high quality, low cost, fast production.
Well, one thing that's really changed in higher education is the fact that the universities have the power to set their own tuition.
Right.
They've taken advantage of that to make up for some of these gaps now that the state isn't funding them as completely. Do you think that this experiment, that this changeover has been a success? Has it worked out the way that it should?
Yes, I'm really impressed. The universities are quite capable of managing themselves. It's incumbent on the legislature to make sure that we're not artificially handcuffing them. They are still public institutions. They are still under the state's control, they're public institutions. But giving them a degree of self-management, I think, is a good business practice.
You know, one issue that's come up in an October article, the Seattle Times said that the state's guaranteed education tuition program, where parents can buy these credits and use them later on, it's already underfunded by $631 million. Should people who use this program or are thinking of using this program be concerned?
We need to watch. No, the short answer to your question, Ross, is no. That GET program is absolutely solid. It's a contract with those people. We've got tens of thousands of families who bought GET credits. I think we can get back in the comfort zone very quickly because, A, we would try to cap tuition rises. And secondly, we authorize what's called differential tuition so that you could charge more for a more expensive course of action, a course of study than a cheap one. Studying English is less expensive than studying engineering. That was a mistake because that drove the mathematics of how much a GET credit costs high. So if we take that away, I've already written a draft bill to remove that differential tuition. I think next year we'll put GET back in the comfort zone.
Now, some people say, though, this idea of differential tuition really makes a lot of sense. Charge more for degrees that will yield more in future earnings down the line. I understand the problems it presents for the GET program, but is there not kind of a logic to doing that?
Well, the trouble is, I think it's not good education practice. So it took me several years of wandering around to figure out which was my real degree. We want these young people to be able to change careers, change tracks. So I think we've got to think of the marketplace in a different sense. Not every one of those students is like an investor in the stock market choosing which stock to buy. We need to offer some flexibility of letting them shift tracks.
University of Washington President Michael Young has been sitting where you're sitting, and we've talked about the idea of commercialization of the knowledge created at the UW, and he came out of a school that was doing that really well. A lot of people are looking forward to him being able to do that at the university. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's an interesting article in the Friday New York Times about the co-location of university research departments and the new production facilities that are moving back into America, especially into Washington. So the closer, Mike Young is exactly right, and he's an expert at doing that, of getting your university researchers and your university brain power attached to the local business climate. So all over the state, it's true out with, say, Walla Walla Community College in Walla Walla. That university has been creating new ways of growing grapes, new kinds of wines, and new ways of running tractors and combines. So the closer in the world ahead, which is a high-tech, high-skills world, the more that we keep the university connected to and infused in every community, the better off our citizens and our businesses will be.
You know, Larry Sequest, probably no one would deny the fact that it's great that schools are integrated into their communities. And yet some think that higher education in particular should be a place that's immune from those kinds of pressures and concerns that the move in that direction will create more emphasis there than it is in things like pure research or other departments that might not have the opportunity to commercialize anything. I don't think philosophy departments or English departments are apt to produce any kind of returns on the investment that's going in there. How does it not hurt those other areas?
Actually, if you talk to a Boeing hiring person, they will tell you the engineer they need is not the one who's an A-plus in math only. It's the engineer who was good at math, who writes well, who had a good background in literature, who studied art. It's that creative science person that is really valuable. So, Ross, I think both as citizens and as employees, when we look ahead, it's those traditional arts, literature, social sciences, philosophy, those things are more important than ever, and they're an important mix of the whole package in our university system.
Finally, let's talk a little bit about politics. As we've been reporting here, the state Senate kind of thrown into a disarray, two Democrats once again crossing the aisle, creating a majority. The Democrats in the Senate who had more seats are kind of sitting on the side. The chairmanship of the different committees there are being switched around. When it comes to your bailiwick of higher education, and how will it affect the committees that you will have to deal with in the Senate with your committee in the House?
Well, you know, Ross, actually, I've been getting ready for this. We could see this coming. And in the last couple of years, we run higher ed on a decidedly bipartisan basis because for some time now, the House Democrats and the Senate Republicans have been the key players in building budgets. So I have been getting ready all summer long with a statewide coalition of Republicans, Democrats, educators, citizens, and business people so that we can deal with this kind of diffuse power in Olympia. It's the playing field we've been on all along, and I'm quite confident that regardless of those kind of tactical decisions in the Senate, we're going to find lots of support for higher education.
How about the general public? I mean, certainly among the businesses that get UW graduates, there's a ton of support there. There's the whole sports side of it that it doesn't have to do with education necessarily. But do you think the general public really appreciates the value of higher education?
In a word, no. And I really worry about that. To be blunt with you, I worry that the Washington public does not fully understand that we're becoming less educated. Our 25-year-olds are 10% less educated than their parents. We're importing the degrees that are working for Boeing and Microsoft and the biotech companies. And I would like to organize this year an advocacy campaign statewide that will help remind our voters and our citizens of how important being educated is. To me, that's the grand question of our time. We're in an economy and a world that's getting more and more educated. As a people here in Washington State, we have to decide to participate on that, or we're going to be left behind.
Well, that's interesting. How do you convince people of that?
Well, I don't have a quick answer for that. I'm talking with people and trying to, you know, encourage smart people to think about that. But I do believe that Mr. and Mrs. Voter out there do understand that. And that they'll join us.
Well, we'll play that out for us. I mean, you're a state representative in Port Orchard and parts of Bremerton. I'm sure you encounter constituents who are very skeptical. Play that for us. How does that go?
Here's what I do. I particularly go to the students, and next week I'm going up to talk to the Everett Community College students, and I get those students fired up to go on their Facebook pages, to do little videos, and to tell their legislators and to tell their neighbors, you have to fund this college so that I can get a job in this economy. So, you know, the real bulldozers of public opinion here, I think, are the students, and I'm out there trying to get them to go.
State Representative Larry Sequist, thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ross.
Larry's chair of the House Higher Education Committee. He represents the 26th District in Port Orchard and parts of Bremerton. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Good afternoon, it's 12:39. This is 94.9 KUOW Seattle, news and information. Coming up next, we're talking about the holidays, specifically what they mean to you, whether it's about family, religion, or just getting presents. Give us a call, 206-543-5869, or toll free, 800-289.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.